All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. We went to a church last Sunday a week ago. Went to a church down in Hilton Head, and the service was good. And then last week we went to a church in Myrtle Beach called Friendship Baptist Church. And that was a good service as well. Both of these guys are about in there. Well, the one guy graduated from the same school I did about 2 years after I was there. And then the other guy went to Bible college recently, but he was called a little later in life. But both of them took a strong stand on the King James Bible and preached solid messages. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. So there are still guys out there doing it, you know. So praise the Lord for that. All right, let's look at a couple of verses here this evening, and then I want to take the time tonight and show you some things that I hope will help you better understand some of the things that are going on in our world today. All right, now there is no doubt in the Bible that Iran is Persia. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Iran is Persia. And there are preachers all over the internet and all over America who are doing a couple of things that just aggravate the daylights out of me. Number one, they are using this Iran thing as a way to fundraise for their ministries, and that's just not right. Especially because of what they're saying. They're saying that what we are witnessing here is Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it's not. Now, folks, it's not. Please don't fall for that. All right. I think that I can show you tonight that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a description of the battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. All right, so what we're seeing, we haven't even gotten to the rapture of the church yet, folks. And these guys are saying, I mean, if I called out some names, you would say, well, I know him. Yeah, well, I've seen him on TV, or I've heard about him. And they're doing all this drama and stuff, you know, trying to get folks to believe that what we're witnessing in the Middle East right now is Ezekiel 38. And it's not. Ezekiel 38 is a description of the battle of Armageddon, when the Antichrist and this coalition of nations that the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 83, all of this is the battle of Armageddon. It is the battle that where the Antichrist is going to gather this coalition of nations and come against Israel. And their attempt, you've heard this phrase, that they want to drive Israel into the sea. Well, that is the goal of the Arab nations around them. And the thing that ties most of these nations around Israel is not their nationalities. What binds them together is that wicked religion, Islam. That's the thing. That is what the devil is using to glue them all together as one. All right? And what they're doing is they are using, and they have been since 1948 when Israel became a nation. And what they're doing is they are using the Palestinian situation as the catalyst for them to protest and hate and threaten and want Israel destroyed. So that's that desire to wipe the Jews from off the planet. Now, you may remember back in 2010, when we did a study on all of the prophetic verses and chapters in the Old Testament, and then moved into the New Testament, having to do with our Lord's second coming. And what we noticed there is that all of these nations that will come against Israel have one goal, and that's the destruction of Israel. They couldn't give two hoots about the Palestinians. And that is clearly the case, and you ought to see that, because you don't see any of those nations lifting a finger to help the people of Gaza. Gaza is the Palestinian people. They are the descendants of Ishmael. Okay? They are the descendants of Ishmael. Now, you've got Jordan, and you've got Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Oman and some of those nations of the Gulf, and they are Arab nations. But it is that religion of Islam that ties them all together. And now those nations, Jordan, they are Hashemites, all right? They call themselves the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. And then you've got the Saudis, and they call themselves Saudi Arabia, because they are ruled by the tyrannical Saud family. All right, they have all of the wealth because of the oil. They control the oil, and they rule by iron fist. So don't fall for any of this. Oh, the Saudi government's on our side. Let me remind you that they were the ones that brought the towers down. All right, so don't ever forget that. You know, you got to be careful who you align yourself with. And I'm telling you, they're not our friends. They can say what they want, but they are not our friends. Now, I think that they're scared to death of Trump, to be honest with you. Because they all now know that when Trump says he's going to do something, he does it. All right? They've all learned that lesson. And so they've all, Trump's got all their attention. But this is not Armageddon, folks. Please, please understand that. This is not Ezekiel 38 and 39. It just isn't. And I'm going to show you that it's not tonight. All right, let's read chapter 38. Let's read verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man," this was God's name for Ezekiel. He called him Son of Man. "Set thy face against Gog," G-O-G, not G-O-D, G-O-G, Gog, "the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Now, let's pause here for a moment. Gog is a name. That is a name that God assigns to the Antichrist. He calls him Gog. He also calls him in other places. He calls him the Assyrian. He calls him the Pharaoh. He calls him the King of Tyre. The King of Tyre. And then he calls him the King of Babylon. Babylon. All right? And here in this chapter and in this first verse, he is calling the Antichrist Gog. And he is connecting him to the land of Magog. And the land of Magog is the land that is today the Islamic nation of Turkey. That's Magog. All these Meshach, Tubal. You say, "Well, I thought that was Russia." No. You see the little word, "the chief"? See that little word, "chief"? In Hebrew, that is the word Rosh. And so these wannabe Bible scholars said, "Oh, that word's Rosh. It must be Russia." No, it's chief. It's chief. I don't know how else to explain it to you, but it is the chief. All right, it's the head. It's the prince of the chief. I mean, it is not Satan. It is one under Satan, the Antichrist, and he's called here not God, but Gog, a play on words. All right, and then reading on, he said, "And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee." So thus saith the Lord God, "Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal," which is Turkey. All right? Now, "and he said, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." And then look who all else is with them, right there in verse 5. Who? Iran, Persia, and Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. In other words, they're not going to be there to have a picnic. They're going to be there to fight. That's what gathers them together. They've come to fight. All right, reading on, it says, Gomer, and Gomer is central Turkey. Turkey is divided into provinces, or it was back in Bible times and still is today. And if you go to, if you have like an old first edition Scofield Reference Bible, in the back you have the you have the Oxford Atlas. You have the Oxford maps, and you can look in that. I doubt that anybody has one on you anyway. You might have one at home on a bookshelf somewhere that you've worn out through the years. But anyway, if you go to that old Oxford maps section, you will see that some of these names are mentioned there that are here in verse 6. All right, so Gomer and Togarma, that's eastern Turkey, and the of the north quarters, and all the band, all his bands, and many people with thee. All right, so he says, be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. So the Lord warns, they're all going to get together one of these days. Now, I have spent hour upon hour upon hour upon hour researching all these names and studying all these names and trying to piece together everything that is coming. And to the best of my understanding, we have the rapture to be the next event prophetically. We are already seeing the falling away. All right, so Paul told the church at Thessalonica that there must be the falling away first. And that is exactly what we're seeing today. And I'm not talking about, I'm not just talking about denominational churches. I'm not just talking about Reformed churches or Reformation churches or mainstream denominationalism. They went wild 50 years ago. All right. They got off the radar 50 years ago. I'm talking about fundamental Bible believing, Christ honoring churches. That's who I'm talking about. And folks, it is absolutely amazing what is going on today in the world of quote-unquote Bible fundamentalism. I mean, Bible colleges that once were fundamental, not anymore, but of course they want you to think they're still fundamental, so you'll keep giving to them. But the simple truth of the matter is, the Bible colleges are tumbling down the hill. And what they're producing in many, many cases are young people who come out and they do not have a Bible. They do not have a Bible. They will use a watered down perversion of the Bible, but it won't use the King James Bible, God's Word. Yeah. And churches are changing. I mean, independent Baptist churches changing the Bible that their church uses. I can't fathom that. You folks know enough, because Dr. Smith trained and taught you, and I have trained and taught you, that there are just some things you don't deny as a Christian. All right? And the fact that the Bible is the Word of God is not something you mess with. You know? And I think if I were to come in here Sunday and say, folks, while I was away, I did some thinking, and here's what we're going to do. And we're going to get we're going to send Pastor Brian to one of these music seminars, and we're going to have him come back and bring our music department into the 23rd century. All right. And we get a set of drums and a bunch of guitars and the Wiggle Sisters up here on the platform and, in worship team and, doing all this for Jesus. No, that's not going to happen. Brother Jim down here said he was going to take a picture of the platform and then he was going to go in and take a picture of a drum set somewhere, and he was going to then Photoshop Pastor Brian behind it and text it to me. He said, and then halfway through the service, the doors would fly open, and I would come in ranting and raving. Yes, I would. You're exactly right. No, we're not going there. We're not going there. But everybody is. Now, when I say everybody, I mean, listen, folks, there are more going there than are not going there. And that's the truth. That's the truth. We are seeing the falling away. Then the rapture will happen. And then the tribulation. And then the battle of Armageddon and the return of Christ. And that's the order in which prophecy is going to unfold. Now, we haven't even gotten to the rapture yet, and these guys are jumping on this war that lasted for 3 minutes with Iran. 3 minutes. That's how long it took for the bombs to go out of those B-2s, those bunker busters, and destroy their nuclear facilities. 3 minutes. And now they're using that to raise funds for their ministry, saying we're in the Battle of Armageddon. No, we're not. So please don't be dragged along by that foolishness. All right? Don't go for it. Ezekiel 38 is a description of Armageddon, and I believe it for a number of reasons. First of all, Israel will awaken and know God during this war. Look at, please, chapter 39. Look at chapter 39 and look at verse 7 and verse 8. In verse 7, it says, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. That's pretty clear, isn't it? All right. Now, you see, they're blinded to this truth now. That's what Paul said in Romans 9, 10, and 11. They're blinded to this truth. They don't realize that Jesus, when he came, was the Messiah. They just don't believe it. All right? But he said, so during this battle, I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Now, right now, folks, ever since the cross, Israel has been blinded to the great truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. They don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I have spoken with men over in Israel I've spoken to pastors, I've spoken to missionaries over there, and I have asked them this question. What if you were to walk up to one of these Hasidic Jews, you know, those are the religious Orthodox, and the ones that you see standing at the Wailing Wall, rocking back and forth with their holy scriptures and their little boxes tied onto their heads where scripture is put inside, and they're standing there praying for the nation. All right, so you walk up to one of those people and ask him if Jesus is the Son of God, he will spit on you. They will spit on you. They will spit at you. They do not believe that. And that they are praying for the Messiah to come. They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They despise that teaching. And so they don't work. They are paid by the nation of Israel to do one thing, and that's pray for the Messiah. That's all to come. That's all they do. Well, that and a bunch of side things. They're multimillionaires, most of them, because of diamonds and a bunch of other stuff that they get involved in. But the point is, they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The percentage-wise, Israel is the most atheistic nation in the world. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it? But that's true. They are atheist in their faith. You say, well, what do they believe in? Nothing. Nothing. They just don't believe in anything. Homosexuality is rampant in Israel. You wouldn't think that, would you? But it is. It is. All right, so God says that, however, there's coming a day when their eyes are going to be open to this great truth that Jesus is the Son of God. And God says it is surely going to take place. So let the heathen rage, as Psalm 2 tells us. Let the doubters doubt. Let the skeptics cast their dispersion upon the Bible and upon God. Let the theologians debate. Jesus, however, is coming again and will come to a nation of Jews who will have their eyes opened. Mark it down. Israel will know God. Look at chapter 39 and verse 22. Yes, verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. All right, so not only that, look at verse 23. Not only will the Jews know, but the heathen shall also know. All right, this is going to be the day when every eye shall see him. Every eye will see him. That's what John said. Go over to Revelation real quick. Go over to Revelation chapter 1. Chapter 1. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So every eye is going to see him. And when they see him, they're going to believe. All right, so the heathen will also know that God is God. All right? So you see that? All right? I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I'm reading it to you right out of the Bible. Now, we know that God categorizes the world as Jews and Gentiles. All right? You say, well, who are the Jews, the descendants of Abraham? Who are the Gentiles? Everybody else. That's right. That's exactly right. Who are the Jews? Descendants of Abraham. Who are the Gentiles? Everybody else. That's the only way to put it. Because that's how God sees this world. Plain and simple. And God calls the nations, the Gentiles, heathens. Because they've walked away from truth. They've walked away from truth. Look at verse 16. It says, and also the name of the city shall be Hamonah. Thus they shall cleanse the land. All right. Now, notice what is being said here. He says where I have it written down here somewhere where I was going to show you that. I read the wrong verse. Verse 23. And the heathen shall say, know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. So everybody's going to start figuring things out, folks. And notice in verse 16, go back, verse 20, is it 24? No, verse 23, he said, because they trespassed, in the middle of the verse, because they trespassed against me, therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. So God is simply telling the heathens, and he's telling all of the heathens that their religion is a false religion. They followed a false religion, and that is why they are under the chastening hand of God Almighty, and the Jews as well. Now, here's the neat thing, folks. After the Battle of Armageddon, there will be no more of this blasphemy towards God. That's going to go away. Because men are going to have their eyes open. Now today, all over the Middle East, all over Israel, all over America now, every morning at 6 o'clock, and then again at 9 o'clock, and then again at noon, and then again at 3, and then again at 6, all over the quote-unquote holy, unholy land, but all over the holy land, this is what is spoken so everyone can hear it. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And let me tell you something, folks. That's coming to a town near you. Did you all see who the leading contender in New York City is? Yeah. No, they're not there yet, but they're on the way. And I'm telling you, his communism is frightening. But his religion is more frightening. And if you think that they are coming just to spread their government, you're dead wrong. They are coming to spread Islam. Islam means to submit. Muslim means I have submitted. And if you don't submit, the Quran, Muhammad, says that you are to lose your head. And it's supposed to be chopped off. So it's submit or die. And I don't know if you heard that reporter on ABC that, oh, she got some mean looks on her face. She's a mean somebody. But she asked him three times, will you deny the global intifada? He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Now, folks, the communism is bad, but that religion is worse. And I've told you and told you and told you, I believe with every fiber of my being that the Antichrist, the beast, is going to be a Muslim. He's going to be the 12th Imam. In other words, he's going to be what the Quran calls the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. And that is the Antichrist. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You say, well, why do you believe that? Here's why. Here's why. He's called the Assyrian in the Bible, in Isaiah. He's called the Pharaoh in Isaiah. He is called the King of Tyre in Ezekiel. He is called the King of Babylon. He is called Gog. He is called the Assyrian over and over and over. The Assyrian. Now, what do all of those nations that are identified by these labels have in common? They're all Islamic nations. They're all Islamic nations. And so I think that the religion of the Antichrist is going to be forced upon the world. You remember when the rapture happens? Chaos. Can you imagine the chaos? It's mind-blowing. The chaos when millions of believers are suddenly taken out. And you read Revelation 6 and you see hyperinflation, you see famine, you see drought, you see the world's economies crash. And who's going to stand up with all the answers? The Antichrist. And with signs and wonders and miracles, he will convince the world that he is Christ. Remember, he's the Antichrist. But he'll convince the world that he is Christ. All right? And so, when you go through Ezekiel 38 and 39, notice all the personal pronouns and how many times God says, I will. I will. Isn't that what Satan said to God? Didn't Satan say, I will? And God said, no, you won't. He said, I will exalt myself. God said, mm-mm. Ain't happening. And he got booted. And he fell to the earth. So things are going to reverse. And God is the one who's going to say, I will. Look at verse 18 in 38. In verse 18, the Bible says, my fury shall come up in my face. The world will see the Lord Jesus. They will see his face. Look at verse 19 and 20. In verse 19 and 20, there's going to be a violent earthquake of unparalleled size. And in verse 38, chapter 38, verse 19 and 20, this is not a small event that is being described here. Every creature on the planet will shake at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that earthquake is also described in Revelation 16 and verse 18 through 20. And then in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, we read just a moment ago about the Lord looking at the host of the Antichrist, looking at all the people. He's going to see him. They're going to see his face. All right? You remember when Moses and the children of Israel were down at the Red Sea getting ready to cross, and Pharaoh come up on them, and the cloud moved, stood right in front of the children of Israel, and Jesus looked at Pharaoh. And the Bible says that the Egyptians trembled at his face. You don't want God making faces at you. All right? You know, remember that look your mother gave you? Yeah. You don't want God to give you that look. All right? And so, in Zechariah, we read his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now, let me ask you a question, folks. Since when did God have feet or eyes? I'm talking about God the Father. A spirit doesn't have feet. A spirit doesn't have eyes. So when all these personal pronouns are used here, they're talking about not God the Father, but God the Son. They're talking about God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Does that make sense to you? So, this isn't, I didn't see any video of Jesus standing over there pointing his finger at the Ayatollah saying, shame, shame, shame. No, this is, we did not see Armageddon. Please don't fall for that. Folks, instead of saying, oh, we're in Armageddon, what you ought to be doing is saying what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, lift up your head when you see all these things come to pass. Lift up your head. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. Now remember from 3 weeks ago, you're as saved right now as you can be, all right? But you're not as saved as you're going to be. So lift up, when you see all this, you better start looking, because the Lord Jesus is about to step out on the clouds, take us up to be with him. And what happens when we go up to meet with him? We're going to get our glorified bodies. Our redemption will be complete. Justification, sanctification, and finally, will be glorified, just like his glorious body. I don't know about you, but that excites me. All right? So don't fall for all this stuff that's going on today. You know the Bible, all right? You know the Bible. You're learned on this subject, so don't you fall for it. All right, I hope that helps you. All right, Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the way that you spell out all this that is coming. And Father, you do not hide from your people what the future holds. It's all right here in the book. And all we have to do is just read the Bible. And when we read your word, we see that there's this great falling away that I think we're seeing now. And then that trumpet's going to sound. Oh, what a glorious day. And we'll go up to be with you in heaven. So, Father, help us to not listen to the false doctrine that is being profligated all over the airwaves today. But, Father, help us to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So bless now in Christ's name. Amen.